I think that was hard for me, that I felt like I couldn't be alone with her, because what if she needed me to carry her? What if something would happen and I wouldn't be able to help her?
Okay, so we are back in Iceland, and I've been so excited to record this podcast episode with you, because this is one that we really wanted to do in person.
Yes.
This is about your past couple years, and they've been so amazing and so challenging and so diverse. So you've been pregnant.
Yes.
Had your girl Freya. You made it back onto the podium at the CrossFit Games as an individual. And then you've gone team. So this has been a roller coaster of amazing events that, and there's so much that happened in between.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny. I feel like it's a while ago, but such a short time ago. It is. It's really strange. Always like when there's a new year, then I look a little bit back and just like think about the previous year. And I feel like it's a while ago that the guys moved here to go team with me.
Yeah.
But yet it feels really close. And the same, I feel like it's a while ago that I have Freya, like a long time ago. But I feel like she just came here. I'm still recovering. I feel like she's been a part of my life forever now, but it's only been, now it's closing in on 2.5 years, which is a long time.
Which is a long time.
Yeah. It's what then 3 years since I was pregnant.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I agree. It's so short ago. Yet again, like so much has happened. And we were just laughing that now she's running around with her ponytails and all of her teeth and running with saying full sentences and chatting with us. And you're like, how? Like, where are these words coming from? Like, how'd you get so big?
It's insane. Yeah. I have a toddler. She is having discussions with me in Icelandic, then in English. So I use Danish sometimes with Frederick when it's things I don't want to understand. But now she's starting to understand that as well. I'm like, I don't think we're going to have a language that she won't understand anymore. But yeah, it's crazy to think back. It's been a while since I actually thought back. But I have been really excited to do this on my own terms, like talk with you properly about all of this. Because still, to me, that year, while I was pregnant, it was COVID. So it's almost like free time. Like everyone is like, oh, you just don't remember that year, kind of. You just scratch it off. I'm like, it was actually a pretty big year for me. Like I was pregnant through COVID and it was amazing. I spent most of my time at the summer house, at my parents' summer house, and we got to see them so much. So they were a big part of my pregnancy too, me and Frederick. We trained usually twice a day throughout the pregnancy because we didn't have that much else to do except for, there was a lot of work, actually, a lot of recording material, which was also kind of cool that I got to
share so much of that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Share so much of it. And I felt great throughout my pregnancy and was able to train throughout my pregnancy. Obviously, had to adjust things. And it was a little bit scary as an athlete, just like I knew I was ready to get pregnant. And I knew I was ready, therefore, to stop competing because I didn't know if I wanted to compete again after that. I've done it for many years and accomplished most of my goals. And now I wanted a family. I wanted a child. And I knew that I wouldn't be mad or have any regrets with what I've done. And I was just ready for that chapter of my life. Still is always like a little bit scary talking to all your partners, telling them that you're pregnant. Yeah. How are they gonna take it?
Yeah.
And everyone took it so well. Like it was really cool.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it. So that was a great surprise. And then also just throughout my pregnancy, I'm like, how much should I share on social media? Are people going to be judging me for being pregnant, not for being pregnant, for training while being pregnant, or what I'm doing? And it was easier than I expected it to be to share it, because I think I just embraced then.
Yes.
I didn't, obviously the comments, like the most negative comments, maybe while I was pregnant for training, they were from men. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you don't know what it's like to be pregnant. And the ones that hit me the most were the ones where it's like, oh, you're jeopardizing. How do you say that word?
Jeopardizing.
The health or the safety of your child. And I'm like, oh my God. And then like a couple of times I'd like talk with Frederick. I'm like, this is okay, right? But like we had read so much about it, and I follow my doctor's orders and did significantly less, in fact, than my doctors told me I was allowed to do, because they say, continue to do what you used to do while you're pregnant, right?
I was doing a lot of stuff.
I was like, I'm pretty sure I shouldn't be lying on the ground crying because of pain that I've endured in the workout.
Or ring muscle-ups or barbell work. You're like, I was doing a lot of things. But you were honestly a lot more careful than I had gotten used to. I feel like you read up on everything. You asked experts on what supplements could you still be taking? How much caffeine could you have? And you did almost none, if I'm correct. You didn't get your heart rate above a certain beats per minute. And that's, you did a lot of things to be very, very, very careful. And I know it's so different for everybody around me, whether it's my sister, whether it's you, whether it's some of my friends. Like, it is so different for everybody, but I loved how you shared what you were doing.
Exactly. And that's what I try to be careful with, is like, this is what I am doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that doing more is not going to be safe.
Yeah.
But almost everyone now says exercising while being pregnant, if you've been active before, is only going to be good for you. And I fully believe that that was so good for me. Just the endorphins that you can get from it. When my back was aching or something, it was usually enough for me to warm up and move around a little bit. And then I felt so much better.
Yeah.
And just listening to my body, like, I thought that was one of the most irritating things. Like, oh, you have to feel what you can do. And I'm like, no, but I know how to push through pain. But when you're pregnant, you know what an okay pain is and what a bad pain is. Yeah. And then you just don't push through that. And when the belly is too big, then I'm like, well, I'm not going to be snatching or cleaning because I don't want my form, like, I don't want my bar path to change after pregnancy either. Mm-hmm. So like all of these things are obviously in my mind as well. So I did a lot of, I also got coning very early on. So I think a lot of women actually do more diverse exercise while they're pregnant than I actually ended up being able to do. But I still had an incredible pregnancy because I was able to exercise every single day throughout my pregnancy. And only a couple of times did I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know my body.
Especially as an athlete, always being so in tune with your body and what it can do and how it can move. And suddenly just having this new body that you're learning to maneuver. And
it's so weird. But it was so incredible at the same time, because then it was like this big stomach, but it was moving around. Like,
oh my God,
you could feel the baby in there, and she had hiccups so often. And then it's like, all right, here we go. But yeah, I slept really well and everything was safe. But I am a pretty, I'm not going to say a paranoid person. I think a lot. Mm-hmm. About what's good for me, what's good for my body, what's good for my health, what's good for my baby. So like I like structure. I like knowing yes and no things. So therefore I worked with a lot of structure throughout my pregnancy too, because it just made me feel safer. I wanted to make sure that I was doing the right things in the moment. And then came birth, and we're still working on like COVID times, but thankfully Frederick was allowed to come to the hospital as soon as I was in active birth aid. But that was a pretty unexpected experience. I was good with it. I was like chilled with, I didn't have any birth plan like I had been reading about. I was like, I'll take the epidural if I feel like I need it. I'll take the laughing gas if I feel like I need it, like go in the bath, whatever it is. I'll just take it as it comes because I don't feel like you can plan those things and you don't really know what you're getting into. It's like really hard to, it's like scary as well. Yeah. But yeah, that was, I was in labor like for 3 days. So that was a very long time that I was going through trying to have my child.
As amazing as the pregnancy was, the birth was not as amazing. I remember calling you. I think it was on day one or two. I called you and you answered and you're like laying in like in the hospital bed. You were alone because Frederick couldn't be with you until you went into active labor. I just wanted to be there and hold your hand.
Yeah.
But that must have been on probably after, that was at least 24 hours, I think.
Yeah, that was, I had been at home for like the whole day and I come to the hospital and because my water had broke, they had to keep me in the hospital. So yeah, it was very nice. I FaceTime a little bit with Kat, FaceTime with my mom, and then I was talking to with Frederick because I was just by myself.
So
it was
super, to be a little bit with you.
I was like, yeah, I'm at the hospital. I'm in labor.
That's so wild to talk to you then.
And then thankfully, like later the day after, like around 4 p.m. or something, Frederick came, was allowed to come to hospital. I'm like, let's go to the birth suite. Let's try to get this moving a little bit faster along.
Do you want to like, talk us through that?
Things were actually like semi-okay through that time. It's just, I don't know. It's pain. It's temporary. You know that something is coming afterwards, right? I didn't want to take anything or do anything on Frederick was there. I'm just like, I'm not used to taking painkillers. I'm not used to anything, really. So those things tend to freak me out. But as soon as Frederick walked in through the door, I had like the laughter gas ready. And as soon as Frederick walked in through the door, I was like, here we go.
You feel like safe because he's there.
Because he's there, yeah. And I remember, like, I was just going to do, like, a little bit. And the nurse, like, just take a deep breath. I'm like, no, I'm not doing a deep breath. And then I got, like, a super strong contraction. And I took this, like,
inhalation.
Like, super deep inhale. And, wow, it hit me. And I started laughing so hard. And it was a nurse change. Like, a midwife or nurse change there.
Yeah, like a shift change.
Yeah. So they were both in there. And like I laughed so much, I was starting to cry, and they were laughing so hard, crying as well. So that was like one of the best moments of my delivery until the actual delivery. But yeah,
nothing's was better than Annie just uncontrollably laughing,
not capable of stopping. But yeah, then I ended up getting the epidural because I'm allergic to sleeping medication. So in case I would have to go for an emergency C-section, they had to have like a direct way in because that's how they would be able to like numb me completely. So that was done. Managed to go through that. I'm also terrified of needles, but that was fine. Like when you're in the moment, you're like, anything to make me feel better. but the process continued, man. It's like, what was crazy to me was that I had a nurse. And then we had shift changes and I got like 2-3 more nurses that came. It's like always the one that's on shift that's then with you. And then I got the same nurse again coming for her next shift.
You're like, wow.
I'm like, yeah, I'm still here. Hello.
That's wild.
Insane.
Yes.
We just laughed at it in the moment. Like I was in pretty good spirits. And then finally we got into the push phase and that was 3 hours that I was in that. And that was freaking brutal. then there were like multiple times went in, like Freya was just sitting a little bit crooked as well. She was stargazed and her head wasn't popping properly down. So they kept on trying to have her head pop properly down. Mm-hmm. This is like the closest I felt to like an animal in the wild or like, I don't know, a cow or whatever. Like I've been on a farm. My uncle has a farm. Mm-hmm. And he sometimes went in to like grab the baby sheep when they were coming out and help like pull them out. I'm like, someone's thought that this is happening. I know this sounds insane. But yes, like that's happening to me right now.
It's the closest that Annie has felt to a cow. There yes, you have it.
There you have it. And then it still wasn't working. So they wanted to bring me into the emergency room to be ready for the emergency C-section. Mm-hmm. But then they fully numbed me. And they're like, okay, we'll give you like three more pushes. And then they were always monitoring. That's also the cool thing. They were monitoring Freya's heartbeat through the whole thing, like had on her head. And they could just see it like went high, but she recovered so fast. Mm-hmm. They're like, that's crazy. She's recovering so quickly. That's probably why I was able to go through this for such a long time. Because she was recovering. I'm like,
so proud of
it's
her.
All the training. Like, she's also obviously getting some of that stimulus.
Yeah.
And then they ended up getting out, like, cutting with a suction cup as well. Finally, on, like, my sixth push, I remember there were, like, 3-4 people holding me down. And I could just see, like, blood going into all the pumps that were, like, connected to me. It was...
How long is between each push?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But, yeah, that was... pretty brutal. Finally, she got out. And I think the hardest moment was like that she, like, you heard nothing. And I think that's normal that you hear nothing for a little bit. But then I saw them like rushing over as well. And they're like, she's gotten very lactic. And that was like the scary part there. Whew. Because that's like, you start thinking, is this my fault? Like, there's so many things that go through your head. Because was I too stubborn? Did I want to push for that long? I didn't mind if they wanted to do emergency C-section, but everything happened very slowly. And it seemed to be hard for them also to make decisions. My doctor at that, like the doctor that was on that shift. And obviously I don't know the process. I've never had a kid before. Mm-hmm. I'm not the one that's supposed to know, but I feel like maybe because they thought I was strong, what if she wasn't as strong? And then finally, like, getting her in my arms and hearing her cry, that was, like, now all of it was worth it. Mm-hmm. Like, everything was worth it.
I can't imagine that feeling.
It's undescribable feeling. Like, the craziest, the happiest I've ever been. And at the same time, I just, you get so protective. So they had to then take her away because they had to make sure everything was okay with her. And I was like, Frederick, you have to leave.
Like with her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they took 2 hours to stitch me up and I lost so much blood. But all I was thinking about was just like, I need to hear something from Freya. I need to hear, is everything okay? So like I was in constant touch with Frederick. Mm-hmm. But that was like the longest freaking time to be away from her. And then finally getting up, getting her in my arms. Like, you're not thinking about, I didn't care how I was feeling. You don't feel any of that stuff. But it was definitely, you get that like paranoid moment where it's just like, I just had to have her in my arms. Mm-hmm. And she actually, like, that night went fine. I'm paranoid with that too. I'm like, she needs to be drinking enough, and is she breathing, and is everything okay? We're in the hospital, but I wanted to have,
like,
her with us.
Instincts just, yeah, like booming. Yeah.
And I was so tired, obviously been up for a very long time going through labor.
Probably?
Yeah. And when she was asleep, I'm like, okay, I'll go to sleep, but I'm gonna put a timer on for 20 minutes, and then a timer on for 20 minutes.
You just want to take care of your baby.
And then Frederick's like, Annie, I'm going to stay up. I'll be awake with her and I'll just hold her. I'll be awake. And I'm like, what if you fall asleep and she falls?
You're like, please go to sleep, Annie.
Yeah. So I think I slept like a little bit there. And then I started being able to like move a little bit, going to the bathroom just with assistance. And she got like graduated or got like discharged the day after, but they needed me to be there for another day. So we stayed there for another day before we went home. And I don't know if I was just so stubborn, but I didn't want to get any blood. I just wanted iron because I wanted just to like recover myself mm-hmm. from this. That was probably silly of me thinking back, but I'm like, other people will need that blood more than I do, and I know that I'm gonna heal. Kind of a shitty moment through this was when my doctor walked in and just like checking in on me. And she was like, okay, your pelvic floor went through a lot. You will most likely not recover properly from this and be able to lift heavy weights. I'm like, dude, like, do you think I care right now? Do you want to add this onto me when it doesn't matter at this point?
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about the recovery process at this point. And then things were good and I felt so great. We came home and it was so nice to get home. And just walking out of the hospital with her, that was really funny. We're like, okay, we're discharged. We're allowed to leave. We're taking her home. And you're like, what are we supposed to do with her? And I felt like I was stealing something. Like you're walking out with something that you didn't come in with. And we're like, run, run, get to the car before they say something, realize that we're not supposed to have her or something. Anyways, then like, it was just beautiful and so nice at home, but I couldn't sleep. I think I was still just in this weird state mm-hmm. after all of this. And it's so weird. I was so incredibly happy and so stressed out and sleep deprived at the same time that I was like, I was only happy when I was watching her. And at other points, I was just like, I looked in the mirror and I didn't recognize myself. Now I had a very big belly carrying Freya. Multiple people asked me if I had twins and I'm like, is that really an appropriate question? But like, no, there's just one in there. Yeah. I'm just creating plenty of space. And she was a big kid.
Healthy kid.
Big and healthy kid.
Big, healthy Viking kid.
But yeah, like that belly was there for a very long time. And I think from social media, from a lot of people around me, I feel like everyone recovered so quickly. We're at the gym so quickly, like a week after. And just with flat stomachs, like a couple of weeks later. And that just like, obviously, this is very soon after. But I had quite a big belly
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have all the blood I needed. So I was dizzy. I wasn't strong enough to carry Freya. I didn't trust myself to carry her around.
Was it too late at this point to get like a, what do you call it? Not a blood transfusion, but like extra blood.
Yeah, you know? It wasn't really. I knew that
okay.
you were just recovered now. Like okay. I didn't want to go back to the hospital. But yeah, so like I needed someone supervising me while I was having a shower. I was dying down there, so I couldn't sit. So mm-hmm. I had to lie. Thankfully, like Freya was so healthy. Breastfeeding went amazing. She made everything better. Mm-hmm. Like, thankfully, she was so healthy that it made me better. But I didn't really know how to feel when I didn't have her. And like I said, just being from being so independent into being so dependent on other people and feeling like I wasn't strong enough for her. Okay, cut. No. I think that was hard for me, that I felt like I couldn't be alone with her. Because what if she needed me to carry her? What if something would happen and I wouldn't be able to help her? So either Frederick had to be there or my mom had to be there with me.
Yeah, you and weren't able to walk without holding the wall.
Properly, yes, point. Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't want to be carrying her. And what if I drop her or something? Like,
is that this a trust week after?
We're talking just that week after.
Yeah.
Still those like, just the first 5 days after bringing mm-hmm. her home. And I think about probably 3 days after bringing her home, I remember like we had Big Bang Theory on and Frederick is like trying to make me some food. And he's like, do you want something? Because I also didn't want to eat any food. I'm like, no. And he's like, I'll make you pizza. I'm like, no, I don't want pizza. I'm like, I have Toblerone. I got some chocolate for you.
She never says no to Toblerone. Yeah.
And I was just like, no, I don't want in. And then I was like, what's happening to me? Like, why do I not want anything? Why do I have no appetite? Why do I not want candy or sweets or anything? And why do I not want to watch this? And then I remember like looking at the actors. I'm like, why are they even doing this? We're all going to die. And I felt like I was so worried maybe about the future for Freya or whatever it was. And then I'm like, okay, this isn't right. Like something is wrong right now. I should not be feeling like this. And it scared me that I felt like that. So thankfully, I'm quite good at opening up quickly and sharing my feelings.
You're very honest and open, and you say your feelings out loud. And I love that about you. And I think it's one of your greatest qualities.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that was definitely a good quality right there, that I dared to talk about this. And I cried and I cried and I talked to Frederick about it. And then I talked to my mom about it. And I felt like every time I said something, it felt like a burden taken off me. Mm-hmm. And we realized I had to sleep because I hadn't slept either at all, really. So I pumped, I went into the bedroom and I slept for like 3 hours while Frederick was with Freya. Mm-hmm. And dude, those 3 hours, I think, just saved me. I woke up and I started seeing colors again. And I'm like, I've never understood depression. But experiencing this was like eye-opening to me. Then you can't just brush it off. Like, you need to talk about it. You need to sleep. You need to eat.
Yeah.
You need to do these things. You need to go out. I couldn't just be in there cooped up all day. I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
So after sleeping, I already started feeling so much better talking about all of this. And then me and Frederick went for a drive. And oh my God, I didn't think I was going to be one of those moms. But just closing the door and walking out of my apartment, those were some hard steps walking away from Freya. And going into the car.
For clarity purposes, your mom was... Your mom's in the apartment with Freya.
My mom's right there, and I know that she can take
it. It was really hard to leave her alone in the apartment when she was 5 days old.
We're talking, she's over 7 days old at this point, and my mom was definitely with her and very capable. So no, we didn't leave her alone. No, but going into the car and started driving and seeing life out there was like, life will go on.
Yeah.
Life continues. These people are living their lives. They're going out. They're going for walks. They're going to work. Like, time will pass and you will feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was really odd to me how much that did for me.
Yeah.
We just went for like 20 minute drive, got ice cream, came back to the apartment, and I like felt so much better.
It's like a mini little as well. Date.
I was so excited to go in and seeing Freya. I just like ran in there almost to see her. But yeah, my recovery process was also just like, it was a long journey. I feel like so that was definitely postpartum depression.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah. Something that, at least knowing you, you've never even been close to experiencing. And
no. So that was, I think it was like a lot of events that caused this. But honestly, like me just being open and having such a healthy, like that was all I thought about was like, she's healthy. She's safe. And that gave you that like sense of calm.
Yeah.
But yeah, then my recovery process, it was never planned for me to compete at the CrossFit Games. It wasn't like, oh my God, I have to get back to it. It was more, okay, as soon as I've got enough blood, can go for a walk. We started going for a walk with a stroller. I expected when people were like, oh, like 3 to 6 weeks until you can start moving. 6 weeks, you should be able to do almost everything. I'm like, I'll give it a couple of days, like a week I'll be doing most things. No, I sure took my time to get back from
you
this.
You were biking after 8 weeks maybe?
A little bit sooner, as soon as I was able to sit on a seat.
Yeah.
We got a grandma seat for the seat to bike. As soon as I was able to do that, dude, like, it felt so good. Just the endorphins for training. I think I miss the endorphins that you get from exercising. From exercising all my life into doing nothing, being at home and doing nothing and feeling like, I'm not saying it's not enough to take care of your child. Definitely not. But I wanted more. I needed a purpose.
Like, who you are.
Exactly. So I wanted to start finding me in there as well with Freya. And therefore, I started doing like a little bit pelvic floor, a little bit of core. And as soon as I was able to start sitting on a bike, I started sitting on a bike. So we're talking, it's like four, five, six weeks. And then I found a pelvic floor specialist, physiotherapist, the core, because I had, my stomach was very big for a while. I also, something that I did was, I didn't post anything on social media for a few days after giving birth because I've always been honest on my social media and I didn't feel ready to share what I was going through and I didn't know what I wanted to say. But at the same time, I felt like I wanted to share something because I feel like I had such a big group that was with me through so much of this.
Yeah.
And as soon as I shared just my birth experience, it was another just huge relief. That's one of the other things I did after I felt like I had that postpartum depression. Like, I shared, and the relief, like, it was almost like a weight off my shoulders taken away by just being brave, by being willing to share.
Yeah.
I feel like I was not just helping myself, but to potentially other women that have gone through something like this. And holy shit, the response that I got. Like, the amount of women that thank me for sharing because they had experienced something similar. And me getting to hear their stories did so much for me. Even from the women that shared their stories from 10 years ago. Sharing them with me now, them recovering.
That for 10 years.
Yeah.
And you took the shame off of it for them by you sharing it. And this is, you weren't saying anything, but this is what I went through. Like,
exactly.
This is what happened to me. This is how I was feeling. And it's almost as if, like, putting it out and not keeping it in and just letting it out into the universe kind of just makes it, like, dissolve. Just, it neutralizes it.
Because it is what it is.
It is what it is.
And yeah, after hearing some of my girlfriends, like, obviously I shared my birth story first and the response I got from that, and then going to and seeing just who I could potentially help and how much it helped me from other women. But then after my postpartum depression, I was like, I didn't want to share that because I didn't feel like I was a spokesperson for it because I don't know that much about it. But who does, right? Until they go through it and all you can do is share your experience.
Yeah.
But then sitting with my girlfriends and hearing from them when I then talked about it, hearing from them, like, a couple of them had gone through it and had never talked about it and maybe didn't talk about it for a year, 2 years, whatever. And then finally, when they went to see someone to help them, they got over it. And then I'm like, why is this a taboo? Why is this something that we're embarrassed about? We can't control what we're feeling. Like, we control what we do with those feelings.
Yeah, how you react to it.
How we react to it. And feelings are just feelings. And I've used that so much throughout my sports career. When I get nervous or when I think something, whatever, it's like, it's okay. I'm not going to push it away. I'm feeling these feelings for a reason. They're there. I acknowledge them. And then I do what I'm going to do.
Yes.
And
your,
this is the same.
Don't have to go by your feelings.
Absolutely not. So you having postpartum depression says nothing about you. Says nothing about your child or your love for your child.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that. So after long talks about if this is something I was willing to share, I shared that too. And again, just blown away by the response and people that had gone through or were going through something similar and sitting in it. And that's kind of how I feel like this is how I've gone through my sports career a little bit. I yeah. have been willing to be vulnerable and share the things that I am feeling most of the time. When I feel like there is not necessarily just an upside to it, but for someone to learn yeah. from and my experience.
It is scary though, because you're opening up and it feels like you're taking your shell off.
Yes.
It's very, very vulnerable, and that's scary, and it takes a lot of bravery and courage on you to be willing to, this is my experience. And
exactly.
You're very unshielded, if that's a word.
Yes, exactly. You're making yourself very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that people have different opinions, and you also want to tread lightly because others might be experiencing something and deal with it completely different. And that's okay. Because I think everyone needs to find their way to deal with the different things that we, different obstacles. But I think we should never deal with it by ourselves. We should always have someone to talk to. Yeah. I think we all need someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Whether it's a spouse, a friend, partner, or a stranger. Sometimes that's also the best.
Sometimes that's even better.
Yeah, just being able to talk about it. And no, you don't have to share it on social media or put it out in the open. Just do what's going to be the best for you.
Yeah.
And then, funnily enough, when I started training again, I feel like I did it slowly. And I was thinking about the longevity of my body. I wasn't thinking about competing at the games because I'm like, this is taking me a while to recover from. My pelvic floor was really messed up, like mm-hmm. very messed up. So there were so many moments, like even just like power clean, moving my feet or just the jump up. Like it wasn't like I was peeing or something. I could just feel like heaviness in my pelvic floor. So I was like super careful, got the assistance that I needed, and that's also something that I wanted to share, was that my recovery was slow. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I had a belly for a while. And it's okay. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. We so often just see the people that recover so quickly. And I'm happy for you, the ones that do. That's great. But for the other ones, it's also okay. There's nothing wrong with you. It's perfectly normal if it takes some time. It's also genetics.
Yeah.
My body, my fibers just take a little bit longer. I still have a little bit of coning. Like, my stomach will never be the same. But you know what? I wouldn't change anything. I was willing for all of this yes. beforehand.
When you decided that you wanted your child.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when I felt like complaining about some of this stuff, it was like, but look at my baby.
Yeah. Look at my girl.
She's so big, strong, healthy. Like, it's all that matters.
Yeah.
I had my years of training. And therefore, it was interesting to me sometimes when I started posting some of the things I was doing for training. It's like, while I was pregnant, the negative comments were from men. When I started training more again, the negative comments were more from women.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I was not shaming anyone for taking longer. I was taking time, but I wanted to start moving again.
What did you feel like the negative comments were about?
You had to be careful how you worded things with wanting to get your body back again. Because okay. that wasn't what I needed. I wanted to get my strength back again.
Yeah.
I wanted to feel independent again. I wanted to know myself again.
Oh, yeah.
But it had nothing to do.
Athlete.
Exactly. It had nothing to do with what I look like. Yes, I wanted to get rid of the empty belly. So I wanted my core to start being stronger again. I wanted to feel like I had control over my midline
yeah.
again. Not feeling just the intestine, like it's really weird, just like moving around in there. Super freaky. I just wanted to feel that strength again. I wanted the endorphins from training again. And never did I take time away from Freya. I only trained while she was asleep. And that's another thing that you even start shaming yourself for. It's like that guilt trip. Am I being too much away from her? I wasn't. Every time she woke up, my training was cut short. Like, that was just how it was because I wanted to be with her. Yeah.
But also, if you do take time away, it's also okay to take time for yourself. Like, exactly. You being you is the best mom for Freya.
That's what I started feeling later on. It's like I realized that the endorphins made me happier. I have more energy than when I was with her, especially now when she's older and needs more energy. It's like... me having that to give, like I
wish everybody got to know Freya.
She's insane. It's not weird that I want to be done with all my training and everything soon as I pick her up. I'm like, I want to have all the time just to play with
every
you.
Every day, Annie's finishing, and she's like, I can't wait to go pick up a girl.
No, but yeah, that was so she was sleeping like 3 times a day in the beginning, and then down to 2 times a day, and I just kept that going, mm-hmm. and. Then the open came around and I'm like, I'll participate. I'll do the open. Leave my ego at the door and I will just do what I can do. And it gave me like these goals, like mini milestones. Mm-hmm. And I was nervous about how my body was responding to everything. So I didn't want to push it too much, which is also smart. You need to listen to your body. But sometimes you can surprise yourself. And every time I was able to do something new and then come quarterfinals.
There's a spoiler alert. Annie really surprised herself in the 2020 season.
I really did.
You could do so much more. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. Keep going. But
like first bar muscle up in the quarterfinals, first ring muscle up and GST sit up in semifinals. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I was like qualified for the games. And I'm like, oh my God, yes, it was amazing. Something I never expected. But I was still like, I'm not competing at the games. I haven't even started running. I wasn't able to run yet.
Annie, we had a conversation about a week before the games where it was still, you didn't know.
Yes.
That was a genuine, honest conversation of you didn't know.
Yeah, because now I felt like I was starting to feel the pressure to compete because I qualified. So I felt like the pressure that I had to compete, but that was never the goal to have to compete. It was for me to start just feeling me again. We were moving apartments. I still was just like home with Freya. Obviously me and Frederick are together, but I still had that, like, I didn't want to train too long. Her nutrition always came first, like me making her food before I made myself food, body work and everything. Like, my training for the games was suboptimal, but here I was. And I'm like, I don't know, because I've been scaling so many workouts. Like, call Kat and I'm like, can you send me something that you're doing that I can do and just see where I'm at? And it did so much for me. And then you just saying that, like, it helped me so much. You saying that just the experience will take you really far.
Yeah.
You don't have to be at your peak, but your experience, what we have is experience of competing, and our body remembers. It's not like we're going to forget. So
our bodies and our minds, like
that exactly.
That can't be faked. That can't be shortcutted. You've been in the sport longer than anybody else. You know how to compete. You had worked so hard to be at the point where you were. Allow the experience to take you through. And that's something that, when I remember using that during the 2020 games, when I had been injured all year, and I just remember how much that did for me, that I decided to trust my experience. My body wasn't where it could have, or I felt like it should have been. I hadn't been able to train my body, and I felt like you were in that position. You hadn't been able to train your body like you wanted to, but you had so much more that others can't have without having put in the years and the time and the work and have your experience and have your mind. And that is insane how you utilize that.
Yes, I was able to use it. It's because I was going so much front and back with it. I've worked so hard and here I am. I have this opportunity to compete at the games. And I feel like I owe it to myself to give myself a shot. But at the same time, I've competed at the games multiple times. I don't need to do it for the experience. Mm-hmm. I usually compete to try to win the games. But I knew that was so unrealistic to think that and just mean to even try to expect something like that. So that was my dilemma here. Like, am I going to do this and be miserable doing it? Or am I going to do this for myself? Because I've earned it.
You had worked so incredibly hard. The challenges that you went through that year.
Yes.
Just the stress of, like, when you're saying, like, I know you were hitting milestones, but they were also, each and every step was a scary milestone. I remember when you couldn't do double unders and then you had to do them in the open. And then you couldn't do GHD sit-ups and you had to do them at quarterfinals. And then you, and every time there was always that pressure on, and you met every single one. You rose to every occasion. You trained with everything that you had, because now you had a little baby girl too. And that I just watched you work so incredibly hard, fight so hard.
Yeah.
I felt like you owed it to yourself. You really did. Like, that's something that the competition was for you.
That's also the conclusion I got to. That was like, even on the plane, because that was also really hard. Leaving Freya for the first time. That was so difficult. Mm-hmm. So even on the plane, I'm like, Fredrik, you realize that we could be going back home again tomorrow. And he's like, yes, and that's okay. I'm like, you realize us going here, it doesn't mean that I'm competing. He's like, no, I know. And that's okay, sweetie. Mm-hmm. It's your decision. And then, again, everything just came together that week before. And I felt like it was showing me that I should compete. So I decided to give it to myself to compete and enjoy competing and really just focus on one event at a time, because I didn't know how many I'd be able to do. And I also was willing to just give it what I got in everyone, because everything was safe. I wasn't ruining anything. Everything was safe. So it was, I feel like I gained confidence throughout the competition. And at the same time, I left Freya in Iceland with my parents. She was having a blast. It was significantly harder for me than ever for her. But like, woke up every morning at the games, had a very good cry, talked with Freya, and then I was like, all right, now I'm going to put my big girl pants on, and I'm going to go into the mode of being a professional athlete, and I'm going to make this worth it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to just show up and do a little here and there and enjoy the moment. I am going to make it worth it that I left Freya in Iceland. I'm going to make it worth it that we are here during COVID times. We got a least visa for the three of us. It seemed like everything led to me competing at the games that year.
Yeah.
And then I gained more and more confidence throughout the competition. And I had you there with me. And then my grandma passed away during the games as well. And I was just like, I am not going to break down and just quit and go back home now, because she was also watching me competing. And it's like you find that just next gear. And come the final event, I stood a chance of podium. I was still not willing to even think about the podium. I promise you, I was not thinking about reaching the podium, because me just being where I was, my goal was to get to be in the final heat. My goal was to get to finish the games, not being cut, being the final heat. And it would have been so unfair towards myself if I would have gotten fourth place and been disappointed.
Yeah.
So I was like, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to do this event. And we'll see where I end up. But this is a win already. And I'm going to do what I can in the next one.
I feel like your mindset, like, set you free.
Yes.
Like, you were free to compete with everything that you had, because you didn't put any restrictions on yourself.
I was willing to take chances. I was willing to go out there and compete a little bit differently than I've done in the past.
Amazing state to be in.
It was incredible. And then to top it all off, get a freaking spot at the podium. Like, it's still, still to me right now, it seems unreal. I know I lived it. I did it. I got in. But thinking about that year, it was the best year of my life. The best year of my life. And they're still getting better, believe me. But also the most difficult year of my life. And I think...
Isn't that crazy how that sometimes holds hand in hand?
I think, exactly, it very often holds hand in hand because you overcome so many things and you have so many things to be proud of and so many things to be happy about and appreciate. I didn't need that podium to be happy and proud of what I had done, but obviously that was still surreal to me.
Yeah.
That I got a podium at the CrossFit Games less than a year after having my girl, having had... that birth, that recovery, everything. Mm-hmm. And that happened. I almost just like...
I feel like it was a gift to the world. I think it's so inspirational. And I think just showing women what we are capable of.
Yes.
And it's incredible how much, like, we talk about it all the time. Like, if you can do something, so can I. Like, you're a real life story. And it wasn't easy for you. It wasn't a fairy tale. It wasn't like a path that you had planned or gone on, but you overcame so much and you rose to every challenge that you met. And you still, it's a hard thing to say, like, you believed it wasn't even your goal. I think you had a great mindset of giving it everything that you had.
Yes.
And maximizing who you were and where you were at. And that to me is like, you took everything else out. Like, you gave yourself so much freedom to be completely you. And that's amazing to see. If we allow ourselves that,
what can happen?
Yes. What then
the
is
freedom that you get?
What then is possible? And you,
I think, overcoming just the fear of failure is right there, because there wasn't a lot of pressure either, and it's something I never expected. So you had that freedom, like you said. And I think it's so often something that we're afraid to put ourselves out there, and we're afraid to take those steps. And I'm not saying that I'm the best at it, but I tend to, if there's something that I'm afraid of, I tend to think that might be worth doing, right?
Yes. Then you kind of, it's like...
not dangerous things.
No. but things that scare us. I know. That needs to be a clear distinction. But things that scare us, it's almost as if it's...
they're
like,
also exciting.
You must lean towards it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt like... I wanted to be a good role model, not just for me, but for my daughter at the same time. I'm not saying that everyone has to do this, but because it scared me, I don't want to just tell her to put her ego at the side and try.
You want to show her.
I want to show her. And I don't want to live with a what if I would have competed at the games. Mm-hmm. I think that almost scared me more. And I never want to have that feeling. I try to, even if there's something that I regret, then it's like, I don't look at it as regret. I look at it as something that I'm going to learn from, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's so important for us to dare to do some of those things that scare us. Because what's the worst? Like, I tend to think about, what's the worst thing that can happen? Is that I fail.
If it's really that we're going to be embarrassed, you know?
We'll I get over don't that. Embarrass that easily, so yeah, I'll get over that.
But we'll get over that. If it's something like that, you're like, that needs to push us off the edge and go for it. Yeah.
So that was, I am so grateful to myself and to my family and Frederick and to you for helping me get the confidence in myself as well of wanting to compete. So that was incredible. Then I did Rogues and that was amazing as well. Now I started having some confidence in myself and that was like just a chance for me to have fun. Yeah. And my parents got to come. They got visas.
Yeah.
With COVID, they got to come and Freya got to see me compete. And it was just like the coolest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And
you were also fearless during that competition.
Absolutely.
I loved how fearless you were to just challenge Tia, for example, of just like, why can't I be the best? Like, let's just, like, you just went for it.
Yes.
And it was almost like, and I feel like if anything, you are a cautious competitor. Like, you always, you are very, you're a calculated competitor.
Yes.
You never underperform because you always do what you're capable of. But you're not willing to take risks.
I don't take chances. Yeah.
So that's where you're very consistent. And I've always, like, I like see you. I wanted to see you take a little bit of risk. You were wild during Rogue. You were in, like, a let's see what happens.
And it was so cool. I was in such a let's see what happens mode. Because of the games and everything. And then I'm like, you know what?
Let's just go for it.
Anything can happen. And it was funny. My goal competing at Rogues was just, I'm going to be Tia in as many events as I possibly can. Thank you, Tia, for being, like, the best motivator for me.
And this is a great compliment that we're not mentioning Tia.
Yes.
Is that she has raised the bar so high. She has gotten good at, she's filled in so many holes. And she has shown us what she's capable of.
Exactly.
And she's raised the bar of the sport.
So I talked to her.
She said that out loud.
And I've said that to her. And I'm like, I'm so grateful for her for giving us that. And for giving me that there. Because let me just go a little. And that's actually what we talked about after Rogues this year, or last year, I guess. It's past New Year's now. But when I competed there, yes, I got second place. Happy. But I didn't take as many risks. Mm-hmm. I didn't take as many chances. I was like a little, have been sick going in, a little injured. I doubted myself a little bit more with, like, those things because I knew what I was capable of, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I knew what I could do and I didn't want to underperform. But seeing how some, I think now to win the games, to win Rogues, you have to take a chance. You have to, I'm the one that, like, I run with the jury cans, but I'm not going to throw myself over the line. I do a jump over the line or, like, sprint through, but I don't want to twist my ankle or slam on my face, maybe get injured for another event. But, like, you know what? Sometimes you just have to take the chance and you have to go. And to win, I had to take more chances and go.
It doesn't mean that you have to take chances 15 times, but you make one or two calculated attacks and you go for it.
And you have to go.
Those extra points because it is a winner's reward system. You get more points for being at the top. So you can't always be losing because with a risk, of course, comes a risk. There's a reward.
Pavel there did a good risk and it didn't pay off, but it could have paid off very well. So it's like, I think we need to be a little bit more fearless sometimes as well.
Wild.
I'm a very, like you said, calculated. I do tend to go out very hot, but I know how to do that.
Yes.
But yeah, I feel like I have learned so much through all of this. Like every year you learn something. We've talked about that. But through being a mom, I also have different priorities.
Yeah.
And I see what I'm capable of doing, even with those priorities. I don't have as much time as you to train throughout the day or do recovery or add in my zone 2 and do my stretching in the evening. And I wake up early in the morning. But that's, I think I'm happy. I'm just so happy where I am. And I think I utilize the minutes that I have to the utmost.
Yeah, you do.
And then I'm present in the moment when I'm training, I'm using that time as much as I can. And then when I'm with Freya playing, I'm just present in the moment and playing with her and utilizing that time. I feel like I'm better at living in the moment than I used to be.
So one thing that I just want to touch on real quickly is I remember a comment because you were saying how happy you are. And I remember you, this was an honest conversation. You were scared of how happy you were. You said, I'm so scared of how, like, that you'd be complacent because you're so happy. And this is something that Brooks says all the time. He's like, a happy competitor is a dangerous competitor.
Really?
And yeah. He's like, a happy competitor is a dangerous competitor. And I think it's so true. I think you are so happy. And I think that puts you in your truest state. At least that's rung true for you.
Yes.
That's how you are in an optimal state. You're your best you and you compete so well. So it's something that, like, it's such a sad, like, I remember it being like, oh, like hearing you say that you're scared of how happy you are. It's like, no, that takes nothing away from you. if any, it gives to you. And yes, that's the most wonderful thing. Yeah.
I love it. Yes. Mm-hmm. I do think you're right. And I think those years where I have been the most under pressure, the most only focused on what I'm doing, had been the toughest years for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I'm not focused. It just means that I'm, like you said, it's not like I'm just too content where I am, but I am comfortable with being me.
Yes. And I think it's when we are, and I feel the same thing as you, as of those years that I've been feeling the most pressure, I feel claustrophobic.
Yes.
By it. You start feeling like, I need to be more focused. So you start making yourself be focused, and you're trying so hard to be something that isn't natural that you're putting all of these restrictions on you. And I literally just don't think I even breathe.
No, exactly.
And I think that when we're in that state, and like you're saying, when you're so happy, you've taken those restrictions off. I think that no matter what happens, you're still going to come home to your family and you're still going to be happy. And you haven't put all this pressure on what if this, what if I perform, what if I can do this? And it sets you free. And I think when you're free, you're free to compete to your utmost, like, best abilities. And I think there's something so true and so powerful in that.
You're right. And your motivation as well, I think. Like, just you saying that, I feel like my motivation has changed so much after having her. My motivation is, I'm doing this also for her.
Yeah.
And that's a really powerful motivation. Like, that's a very powerful motivation.
Show what you can do. I love you, my girl. Thank you for sharing all of that. I know that was a lot.
Yes.
Those were such a big couple years.
Yes, they have been.
Yeah.
Incredible years.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's so cool. I want to touch back on what we were talking about, like how challenging those years were. They were really hard. They were really, really hard. And they tried you and they tested you, but they were so incredible. And it's almost as if, like, you have to be tried and tested. It's as if, like, going a little lower or being more challenged then makes the pride that much more. It makes the happiness that much more. Like, makes you appreciate where you are, what you've done, gives you another perspective on it.
I think, yeah, exactly. It gives you a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So thank you for sharing that with me and with the world, Annie.
Thank you. My pleasure. Incredible. Thank you.